take to be a Christian.
Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, we've had an exciting week, a great week of time together. I look forward to our time together this morning in the Word. Now, my lesson is entitled, The Most Influential Person Who Never Lived. Most influential person who never lived. I'd like for us to read about him. We'll find him in the Gospel of Matthew at chapter 13. We're going to begin reading right from the very first verse. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. Well, we don't have a boat and we don't have the beach, but I'll sit down if you all will stand up. No? See how things have changed, huh? Well, Jesus sat down to preach. Sat down to preach and to teach at this crowd. And he said, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil, though. The sun came up, was risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, and they withered away. And others, that is other seeds, fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a good crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. I don't know where you thought about it much. I happened to run across, David, this article here a while back that was about, I just saw the title, said the most influential person who never lived. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. So I went over, just started glancing at it. And it was an article actually written by Time Magazine, which was a result of having produced an article on the most influential person who ever lived. And I guess someone wrote into them and said, well, by the way, there are lots of influential people who never lived. Well, for example, we've got a few of those. Maybe you can think of them. In fact, there may be someone in your knowledge point about people who have lived that were influential. You'll see some of these names come up here. Mary Poppins. Everybody remembers Mary Poppins, right? What did she teach us? Well, she didn't teach us something that was brand new, but she taught us in a song that a spoonful of sugar does what, Ray? Makes the medicine go down. Is there anybody in this room that ever took a little sweetness to get the bitterness down? Anybody in here? Come on, now be honest about it. Okay, now most of you were raised on black broth or 3/6, right? Oh, that's bad stuff. How many of you ever had any black? If you had black broth, you would never forget it. It was awful, wasn't it? That's the kind of stuff you want to spit out. Medicine. Yeah, but a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. Well, Mary Poppins sang that song to us. There's all kinds of people that you can probably think of that influence that have never lived. I thought about Tom Sawyer. I can remember as a young boy, Ken, that Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, I'd been able to read that particular story in a book my parents had bought me. And, you know, I started playing pirates. I'd always played cowboys before, but their life is escape pirates and living out, you know, doing all kinds. I thought I'd be a pirate for a while. That only lasted until I fell off my horse. So anyway, Tom Sawyer. A lot of things that Mark Twain wrote influenced us. And he was a person who lived, but he wrote about folks who didn't live. How many of you know Ebenezer Scrooge? You know who he is? We had him, no, that was Tom Jones reading. That wasn't Scrooge. But he was reciting a poem to us. Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah, he's influenced us. He was an old grump at the Christmas time. But nonetheless, he is a person that has influenced or maybe touched our lives. And you might come up with a completely different one. Everybody probably knows Frankenstein, and everybody wanted to be Betty Crocker at one time. I don't know if that's changed. Maybe there's another one out there. If I look at TV, obviously cooking is a rather popular thing, isn't it? Almost TV channels, everybody's into, they're in the cooking wars, and they've got mad chefs, and they've got angry chefs, and explosive chefs, and I don't know if they have a kind chef or not, but maybe they do. We do on Wednesday night, we have two of them, Bobby Davis and David Chenault. They're kind guys most of the time, as long as you don't mess with their supplies in the kitchen. Okay, all right. Don't move it around, leave it there. People who influence our lives. How about Cinderella? Did Cinderella influence anybody? Well, probably so. And who were the people, by the way, I'm not going to mention to you the idea of those who were that were influential until a little bit later, but what do these folks all have in common? They have this likelihood in common. They never lived. They don't have a life. They wouldn't have had a life unless someone wrote a story about them and they told us about them. None of them are real. They're just fictional characters. Guess what? We just read about a fictional character. We don't know anything about this fellow, the sower. As far as we know, he never lived. He's somebody that Jesus used, that was a common influence of the day. And he told a great story about a sower going out to sow. And our lives are richer because of people or someone who influences us who never even lived. The Bible contains more than just one of those kind of characters. How about the prodigal son? There's another one for you. That was a fictional character created by Jesus. One of the most significant figures from his wide-ranging collection of parables. And unlike a cultural character like, this goes back in my time, and I don't want to offend anybody, but the Marlboro Man. Why, he was just the man on TV, and he was big and strong, and I know it. He promoted something that I'm not a promoter of, necessarily. But nonetheless, he presented an image in our culture. You could say that particular thing, the Marlboro Man, and everybody knew what you were talking about. The sower, you see, is much different. He has a spiritual depth to him. And nobody else can come close, maybe unless it would be like the Good Samaritan, Ray, or the father of the prodigal son himself. People who are included, surprisingly, in the Time magazine top 100 people who influenced us that never lived. A lot of them were biblical characters written by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus faces a crowd on this particular time. They are admirers, and they're at the Sea of Galilee, and that he was going to teach them from a boat while the rest of the folks were standing on the beach. Matthew reports to us that he tells them many things in parables. Now, you remember about the idea of parables. In fact, we had a lot of study about that just a couple of years ago. But in case you've forgotten, Our usual explanation of that is the earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. Now, that's not really the true definition of the word parable. The word parable really means something that is a story that's been told and then something thrown alongside of it for you to help you in your understanding. Even though they sometimes muddied the water. That is, lots of folks heard Jesus teach in parables and didn't understand it. Sometimes even the disciples, as we'll see. So many things in parables. And these stories, of course, communicate information. They encourage us. Sometimes they delight us. Sometimes they move us in directions. They force us maybe to dig under the surface of the initial teaching to begin to understand what's really being said. And in his reflection of the prodigal son, a sports writer wrote and said about the prodigal son that the story is so simple and so direct, a piece of literature that sparks your imagination about the prodigal son. Jesus begins by saying, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And you can almost visualize the sower in the field. As we do, our imaginations are sparked. And as he sowed some seeds, they fell along the path or the roadway. And guess what? The birds came and ate them up. Now notice, you see here, that the sower is just tossing seed. He's not digging holes, Jim. He's throwing seed. Ain't not digging any holes. Now, I didn't learn to plant that way, did you? I was told to, you know, get a hole, make a hole, put it in, cover it up. But not this sower. He's throwing seeds, almost as if he's just sort of careless about doing it. He doesn't cover them with dirt, and some of the seeds hit the path, and guess what? They're gobbled up by the birds, but that doesn't stop him. He just keeps on throwing the seed. How many of you noticed our blessing box out here? I would think every hand would go up. Never mind. If you haven't noticed the blessing box, you need to. Now, I know that in the community, there's a sort of a tendency, sort of a thing about us that wants us to maybe put a guard out there to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of us. It's a blessing box, folks. We don't care who takes it. And I don't want somebody to take advantage of me. That's true. But is he taking advantage of me or is he taking advantage of the Lord? Put your blessings in the box and let them go be a blessing. Let it be left up to what happens when they get it. You see, other seeds fell on rocky ground and where there wasn't a lot of soil. They sprang up quickly, and since there's no depth of the soil and the sun comes out, they wind up being wilted or scorched or burnt up. Since they don't have any real root, they begin to wither away. And the sower doesn't seem to care where the seed goes, throwing it in completely inhospitable rocky ground. And not surprisingly, these seeds are thrown in vain. They scorch and they die. But the sower, are you listening? The sower keeps moving along. Jesus said that other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And the other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth good grain, and some 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. They just brought an enormous quantity. I know you know this parable. It's real simple. You've seen it before. But let me ask you a couple of questions about it. I hope I can make you think a little bit today. What strikes you immediately about the character of the sower? Is he careless? You know, is he a seed waster? What do you think about that? He seems as though he is a little careless. This sower in our story is not necessarily overly cautious. And yet, he throws seed everywhere, apparently confident that there will be a harvest in spite of the losses. And he simply keeps throwing the seed, believing that it will bring about growth. Now, I don't remember a whole lot about my grandpa, Luna. He was a farmer his whole life. But he had a saying. And that was about planting. If you're going to be cheap, don't be cheap with the seed. How many of you really believe that? Think about it. If you're going to be cheap about something, don't be cheap when you go buy your seed. You want to get good seed. You want to make sure it's the right seed. You want to make sure it isn't mixed up with weeds or any other kind of thing that might possibly be in it. Because trust me, it's just like at the gas station. You can get some that's got water in it. You can get some that's been cut, is what I'm trying to say. He was saying a simple truth that you want to have good seed when you're throwing it out there. What about this sower? Maybe better yet, let me ask you, what does the sower tell you about Jesus? You think this has anything to do with Jesus? You think he is telling us or giving us any implication at all about what the Heavenly Father thinks about sowing and reaping and planting of the gospel? This influential person who never lived, I believe, has something to teach us about what Time magazine said was the most influential person who ever lived. He's not the most influential person because Time magazine said it. It's because he's Jesus Christ the Lord. And even they know that Jesus is the most influential person who ever lived. He's got something to tell us about it. And he's telling us a lot of things. You see, Jesus is not cautious about where he preaches the gospel. Jesus preaches the gospel wherever he goes. He is not cautious about whom he invests his time with. He just simply keeps sowing the word of the kingdom of God, even though it lands on religious people who wonder if he is a devil. They wonder if he is possessed. You only have to move over to or go back to chapter 12 and read in verses 22 through 24 and you'll see where the disciples thought he was possessed of some devil. Disciples just struggling just to understand him in Matthew chapter 16, 21 through 26. And on at least one occasion, you remember the rich young man who came and couldn't part with his possessions in order to follow Jesus. And yet Jesus keeps on sowing. Just like the sower who kept on throwing, that's exactly what the example of Jesus Christ is. He keeps spreading the word. He's kind of like a fella in literature that I know about, maybe you do too. His name is Atticus Finch. How many of you know that name? Good. I got some readers in here. In the book, Mr. Harper wrote about To Kill a Mockingbird, and he gives us a character by the name of Atticus Finch, who's going to be a defense attorney and is going to defend a man that's not very popular. But it is said within the pages of the book that Atticus is a man who will do what's right when the world is saying, you listening? He's wrong. I hope you'll take this to heart. Here's a man who does what's the right thing to do while everyone else is saying it's the wrong thing. What he shouldn't do. And yet he does it anyway. Atticus is a white lawyer who defends a black man in a racist southern town. And as a character in the novel, he says to the two children, Scott and Jim, the lawyer does, about their dad, he says to them, you know, that there are some men in this world who were born to do our unpleasant jobs for us, and your father is one of them. Atticus stands up for justice when it would be much easier to let the standards of the community prevail. And yet he isn't alienated from his neighbors. You see, Atticus loves his backward, racist, fearful community, even as his heart breaks over its shortcomings. Is that like Jesus? I'm not trying to make Atticus Finch a fictional character into Jesus. I'm telling you, is that like our Jesus? A man who was born to do our unpleasant tasks? A man who was born to die for us and who loved us completely even though his heart was breaking over our own shortcomings? I think it is. You see, the parable of the sower teaches us that Jesus throws seed, good seed, everywhere, knowing that most of it is going to be destroyed. And as followers of Jesus, we should be doing ministry and mission in the very same way. We need to be people unafraid to take the good seed and spread it everywhere, knowing that God is the one who will provide a harvest. It'll fall on some bad places. It will go to some bad hearts. But it, as the sower's message is told, will also find good soil. I'm simply saying to you this morning, Jesus calls us to be faithful to Him and the kingdom of God, and for us to not worry about our success in the world. We're to be successful with Him. And we're not done here yet. Because this parable has more. Because the disciples, later on, are going to ask us some questions. They're going to ask Jesus some questions. And he then begins to explain to them the meaning of the story. And his focus then suddenly shifts from the sower to the soil. In fact, you could even call this the parable of the soils. You don't have to call it the parable of the sower. You could call it about the four kinds of soils. And the emphasis is on the soil. The message is that, well, we all ought to be good soil. Isn't that what he says? He says, listen. He says, he that would have ears, let him hear. Listen to the message of Jesus. People who hear the word of the kingdom and understand it, Jesus promises that that person who does so has and will bear fruit. Some cases 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. That's the good soil. When you hear the word of the kingdom, don't be like the people on the path or the road, which is susceptible for every evil one who comes and snatches away the seed. Don't be susceptible to that. It happens. People come along and snatch away what was good. Don't be like that. Don't be like the rocky ground that takes root and, well, you know, sprouts up and gets happy about it for a little while. And when the sun comes out, you burn out and die away. And don't be the thorny soil, which the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke out the word and leaves us with nothing. We want to be successful in the kingdom. There's a problem, though, here with the parable of the soils. You see, the soil is completely passive. It sits and receives the seed. It cannot choose to be good or to be bad. It is what it is. If you saw a farmer ordering his field to be good soil, you'd think he's off his rocker, wouldn't you? Be good soil now, good soil. It doesn't work that way, does it, Jip? It only works when you receive the marvelous word of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, listen. That's why Jesus said, he that has ears, let him hear. That's the part of this that is going to be active rather than passive for disciples. Listen to the story here of the sower and learn that Jesus is incredibly generous in the way that he shares the word of the kingdom with all the people of the world. You know what we talked about this morning, Bobby, about going down into Samaria? The disciples said, we don't go down there. Those people, well, they're not worthy of this great message. We want you to not go down into Samaria. And Jesus' response was, ain't happening that way. I've got folks down there. I've got something they need to hear. So the sower went and preached the word. And I've said all of that today to tell all of us today. We've spent some hours in our community working hard, sowing the seed of the kingdom. I don't know what your expectations were. I hope you understand that it is the Lord who always brings the increase. And it is our job to take care of sowing the seed. I hope you'll remember the sower as an influential person who not necessarily ever lived, that Jesus talked about, and he will influence you to never again be silent about the kingdom of God. And that you will help us to reach the people who want to study and who have expressed interest in knowing more about what this book says and about what the church is all about. That's my message to you today. Godspeed to you. If you're here and you'd like to respond to the message, maybe you're the good soil today, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
He's like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, water